This is our third lesson in the book of Leviticus. And tonight, we're going to study about the peace offering. And it's on purpose that these offerings are put in the order that they are. The first lesson that we had was in the book of Leviticus chapter 1. And there it talked about the burnt offering. That is the offering given for sin. That's a salvation type sacrifice. And then chapter 2 is a meat or a meal offering. That is one of thanksgiving. And then chapter 3 is the peace offering. Chapter 4 then will be the sin of ignorance. And chapter 5 will be about a trespass offering. And so tonight we want to speak about peace and the things relating to peace. This offering tonight is again an offering that is given not by requirement. This offering is given only because the giver wants to give it. Only reason. He has peace. And peace so fills the person that they just can't stand still. They've got to do something. This is the motivating force behind this particular offering. This offering tonight, the peace offering, is the only offering of all five offerings that the giver gets to eat part of it. It's the only one. All the rest of them, Aaron's sons get it. But this one, the giver gets to eat. He don't eat all of it. As a matter of fact, he has to share it. And that's just what peace is good for. It's good for sharing. And this is what this one here is all about. It talks about the joy and the peace that we have in serving the Lord. There are three types of peace offering. Okay, let's look at the division of the chapter. Chapter 3, Leviticus chapter 3. And the first division is verses 1 through 5. And this is an offering of the herd. So it would be some kind of beef. And then verse 6 through verse 11 is an offering of the flock. That is a lamb, as it says there in verse 7. And then the third kind is in verse 12 through 17, or actually verse 16. And it is the offering of a herd. That is an offering of a goat is really what it amounts to. There's an amazing thing here. Let's do a little comparing before we get too far into it. Turn back to chapter 1 just a minute. Now, notice we just said in Leviticus chapter 3 that there's three kinds of offerings. There was the beef, you might say, or the one of the herd. Then you have the lamb and the goat. All right. Now, when we talk about the burnt offering, notice the kinds of offerings that's involved. And it starts out here in verse 3 of Leviticus chapter 1. If it's of the herd, that is a bullock. Okay? And then verse 10, it talks about the flock. And goats and sheep are included in that. Okay? In verse 14, it talks about the fowl. Now, think about this a minute. For the burnt offering or for the salvation offering, that's what the burnt offering is, there is an offering of the bullock and the flock, that is a goat or sheep, and of a bird. Why isn't there a fowl offering for a peace offering? What if there was somebody that was poor and they couldn't afford a bullock or a sheep or a goat and they had peace? Why couldn't they give a fowl? And there's no, you can't give a fowl for a peace offering. It's not there. Say, well, I wonder why that is. It's very simple. The requirements for a peace offering is not only included here in chapter 3, which we'll read in just a minute. It's also included in a part of chapter 6 and also chapter 7. And we're going to get over there and read that if we have time. A peace offering is always shared. It's always shared with the priest, and it's always shared with your family and sometimes your friends. It's the only offering. The peace offering is the only offering that the giver can eat of. Another requirement for the peace offering is that it be eaten in 2 days. Okay, so what we've got here is you've got to have enough peace to last more than 1 day. And the peace of God lasts more. You've got to have enough food to go around to last more than 1 day. Moreover, it's got to last more than just one person. If all the peace that you have is just for you, you don't have real peace. You share this with others, and then when you get up the next day, you can share it again. But you don't share it the third day. In other words, you don't live on past accomplishments. You keep on gaining peace with the Lord over and over and over. And then, isn't that the way our life is? Did you get peace one time and that's it? You got peace with God as far as your salvation is concerned, but this is not talking about salvation offering. This offering is an offering of peace of the saved person that they have with God, and that kind of peace comes over and over and over and over again. Because you and I will live along for a little while and we'll have peace and then we'll get off and do something and we'll lose that peace and then we'll get it back and then we'll do something and lose it again. Or maybe we'll just live and we'll lose our peace. That's why he says you've got to have enough to share and it's good for 2 days. You're going to have to renew it over and over and over again. So there's just simply not enough meat on a bird to feed more than one person for 2 days, unless it's a great big bird. Okay? And so there's got to be enough. Something else to think about. As far as poverty and peace. Now think about this. When God gives you peace, He'll make you prosperous enough to have some to share with your saved friends. He didn't say He's going to make you rich, as Solomon. You know, but you'll have enough to share with others. You'll have the appropriate sacrifice to give to God when you have real peace with God. Somebody said, wait a minute now. I don't have hardly enough money to buy groceries this week. Oh, that's fine. We're not saying anything that maybe you don't. But remember this, when you've got peace with God, you are confident that He will supply what you need. And so you can freely be the kind of Christian that you really ought to be. Simply because you know God can supply for you. Even if you can't see it, He still can. And I don't mean to give all your money away and just spend foolishly like that, because that wouldn't work. That wouldn't be very good at all. Okay, let's read these three divisions here in Leviticus chapter 3. And as we read these, we'll notice again that there are three types of offering. They are primarily all the same thing. There's just different degrees of peace that a person has according to he gives according to his wealth, but he also gives according to the peace that he has. Chapter 3, verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Okay, now that's primarily The same thing for all three. Let's read the rest of it. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offerings an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat thereof and the whole rump, it shall be taken off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And then, of course, the third section, verse 12. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. And then kind of a postscript in verse 17. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. Okay? So let's go through the first segment. We'll go through verses 1 through 5. And that will pretty much cover all three different parts of this peace offering. Okay. Notice the first thing in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, whether it be male or female. Wow, that's different. When the burnt offering, it had to be a male. And you'll find that in the other offerings, it has to be a male. But here it can be male or female. Wonder why. Okay. In the burnt offering, what did the bullock represent? Jesus Christ. In this offering, in the peace offering, the bullock here represents our peace with God. It doesn't represent Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that we have peace through Him, but it's really a physical representation of the peace of God. And so, while the burnt offering would be a male representing Jesus Christ, who is a male, this peace is neuter gender, and so it can be represented by either male or female. It's talking about the peace of God, and so he offers it without blemish before the Lord. Well, I like that. Our peace with God is absolutely pure. Hang on now. Let me read you something. In chapter 7, in verse 11, as kind of an additional study here, Leviticus chapter 7, here are some additional requirements given for the peace offering. Okay? Verse 11. Leviticus 7, verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, now this is a peace offering. This is a thanksgiving peace offering. Okay, now we had the thanksgiving offering the last Wednesday night in Leviticus chapter 2. This is talking about a peace offering of a special type. It is a specific peace offering. You just don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have peace. But he comes to the Lord thanking God that he has peace. So it's a thanksgiving peace offering. Okay? There's two other types of peace offerings. And these are talked about here in verse 16 of Leviticus chapter 7. If his sacrifice of his offering be of a vow, that's the second time we have a thanksgiving offering. And then a thanksgiving peace offering and a vow peace offering. and then a voluntary peace offering. Okay? So, we have those three. And the one that we're talking about in Leviticus chapter 3 is the voluntary peace offering. Okay? But I notice when he comes with this thanksgiving peace offering, he shall offer it with, I'm reading in verse 12, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Now, you remember all that symbolism we talked about? So he's got these unleavened cakes. And unleavened means without sin. And it is cakes, something that is prepared. Okay? And what does he have with it? All of them have oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And all of them have fine flour, which, as you remember, is the symbol of the crushed life of our Savior. All right? Now look in verse 13. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. Uh-oh. I didn't think you could come before the Lord with leaven, because leaven is a type of sin. And here, with the thanksgiving peace offering, a person can come to the Lord with leaven. Does that mean we can use leavened bread in the Lord's Supper? Not even talking about the same thing. We're not talking about the Passover. We're talking about a thanksgiving peace offering. Why is it that a person can bring leavened bread before the Lord? I mean, bread with sin in it. Notice here in verse 13, the only way he can bring leavened bread is if he also brings unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is about sin. Leavened bread, picturing sin. And the way it works is like this. Whenever we're thankful to the Lord, whenever you have peace with the Lord, it is always mingled with your sinfulness. You can't escape it. The very reason that we have peace is because of our own sinfulness, our own wickedness. And so he says, yes, you can have peace with God, but don't ever forget you're still a sinner. And we can never forget. And so the Jews, when they brought the different kind of bread, it was fluffy and light. They would say, oh, I'm still a sinner. And here's the flat cakes, the unleavened cakes. This shows that I have my peace with God, and this shows I'm still a sinner, and here I am. And so this is the way that our peace is with God. We must admit that it's that way with us, and certainly it is. Okay, let's get back to Leviticus chapter 3. I want to pitch that in right there, because we just got through saying here that our peace with God is without blemish. And while our peace is without blemish, there still is the stain of sin that shows up in our life, in our natural body. However, we are pure before God and without sin in our spirit. So now, in verse 2, Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 2, he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering. You remember what that did with the burnt offering? Whenever the person came up and they put their hand on the head of that burnt offering, it was them saying, I am picturing myself as this animal. There's an innocent animal, didn't sin at all. But I am putting myself here. My sins are going on this animal. And that's, of course, what the New Testament said. And here, this person is laying his hand upon the head of his offering and picturing himself with that offering, or as a part of that offering. And then he shall kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's a little bit different. You remember when they brought the burnt offering up and he laid his hands upon the head of the burnt offering, and then the sinner himself was the one that killed the burnt offering. He was saying, this is Christ whom I'm identifying with, and now my sins are causing this innocent animal to die. And as he skins the animal, and as he does all of these things to that animal, he's saying, it's my sins that laid the Savior on the cross. In this case, this is a peace offering. There is joy there. Christ has died for me, as he says, this is my peace, and I'm going to share this with other people, and so he does. He kills it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so his peace there is something he can give to somebody else. And that's the way that our salvation ought to be, of course. Now, where does he kill it? I mean, the giver sheds the blood. And our peace, we have peace through the shed blood of Christ. He kills it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And of course, I think you know how the tabernacle was laid out. It was facing the east. The door of the courtyard to the east. They had the courtyard. And inside the courtyard was the tabernacle, of course, with the brazen altar here. And so they would bring the animal in. And then at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, there they would kill the animal. The burnt offering was killed on the north side of the altar. This animal is killed at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? Because this is where God is. And you can't get from here to here without the blood being shed. Without there being peace. In other words, before you can have real, true Christian service, you've got to have peace with God. And it only comes through peace with God. And so now in verse 2, Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And it's not the giver that does that. That's the blood is always in the hands of the priesthood. Always. Because they are the representative of Christ. And nobody touches Jesus' blood but himself. Nobody else is able to do it. He's the only one that's pure and able to handle that. Let's see. In verse 3, here is the sacrifice that he gives. Now, picture, they don't burn the whole animal on the altar. They don't do that. See in verse 3. And they're all the same. He shall offer all the sacrifice of the peace offerings, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Here's what he offers. You see, at the end of the word Lord, there is the semicolon. This is what they offer. Number 1, the fat that covereth the inwards. If there's no fat, it's not a healthy animal. That belongs to the Lord. Health belongs to the Lord. And all the fat that is upon the inwards, just in case you want to keep any for yourself, you don't do that. It's all the Lord's. In other words, all the reasons that we have to be glad is the Lord's. Every one of them. Then in verse 4, and the two kidneys, that is the cleansing of the body, is the Lord's. If your life is cleansed, it's because of the Lord. Think of this a minute. I wonder how many people have quit smoking because it was just wrong before God to do it. Well, I know of one. And you're looking at him. I wonder how many of you have stopped doing some things just simply because God said it was wrong. That's the only reason you quit doing it. God said it's wrong, I'm not going to do it. I imagine there's lots of things. And every one of you, probably some different things with you, with each one. But see, we just quit doing those things, and this is the cleansing of the body. That belongs to the Lord. Now, there's lots of folks that's tried to straighten up their life without the Lord. I know there's lots of folks quit smoking and quit drinking and all that stuff just because they know it's bad for them. You know, but we do it to please the Lord, to have a cleansed body that'll please the Lord. Okay, then in verse 4, the fat that is on them. So if there's any healthiness in your life because you quit bad habits, that's the Lord's. Then he says, which is by the flanks, that is the backward part of the animal, the caul above the liver. The caul, there is the lining that holds the bodily organs in place. And so you take that out, and you burn that. And then he says, with the kidneys, heat shall he take away, and he burns all of this on the altar unto the Lord. And all of this is the same thing. He burns all the same thing. The rest of it, then, is eaten, either by Aaron and his sons, or it's given back and eaten to the giver. Now, they take the, and this, we got a little bit of time here. Let's get back over here to chapter 6. I want to show you this. First of all, before we get into chapter 6, I want to show you the divisions. I always like to see how the thing's divided up. Because it's difficult for me to understand just starting out and reading the thing if I can't get a picture in my mind of what it's talking about. Okay? Chapter 1 is talking about the burnt offering. Right? Chapter 2 is the meat offering. The meal offering. Chapter 3 is the peace offering. Chapter 4 is the trespass sin of ignorance offering. Chapter 5 is a trespass offering. Chapter 6, down through verse 7, is continuing in the trespass offering. Got your Bible open there, see that? Chapter 6, chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 7 is trespass offering. Okay? Starting in chapter 6, verse 8. Down through chapter 7, verse 21 is a repeat of chapters 1 through 6, verse 7. It's a repeat. The only difference is that chapters 1 through 6 verse 11 is looking at the sacrifices from the viewpoint of the giver. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, down through chapter 7 and verse 21, is looking at the sacrifices from the viewpoint of the priest. Okay? There's some things in these sacrifices that the giver's got to make sure is done. It's not the priest's responsibility. Did you know, and I'm not a Levitical priesthood, don't ever think that that's so, but there's some things that I cannot and am not responsible that to see that you do. That's your responsibility. There's some things in your personal private life that I cannot get into and I don't need to get into. God wants you and you alone to be responsible for those things. There are some other things that God says He wants me to be responsible for as a pastor, as your pastor. And those things are public, you know, we can get into those, no big deal. But there's some things that's yours, some things that's mine. And so it's just that way. So this is what He's talking about. And then in chapter 7, verse 22, down through verse 34, he gets back into the requirements of the people, of the Israelites. And then verse 35, down through the end of the chapter, he is talking about the order for the priest again. And so it's kind of back and forth. Some of that you can tell by reading it that it's that way. Makes it kind of complicated reading sometimes, but it's just the way it is. Let's see, I want to show you this now. Okay, chapter 6, verse 8. You can just kind of look at the breakdown here. And when we get this breakdown, we want to go into some of the things about the peace offering. Verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. See, that's the priesthood part of the burnt offering. That's so in verse 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13. Verse 14, this is the law of the meat offering. Alright, this is Aaron and his son's part of the meat offering. That goes down through verse 18. Beginning in verse 19, says in verse 20, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed. So this is the special anointing just for the priesthood. The Israelites don't have this. It's just for the priesthood alone. Okay? Verse 24. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. Okay, that's the sin of ignorance. That's the third offering. And that goes down through the end of chapter 6. Chapter 7, verse 1, likewise. Talking about Aaron and his sons. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. Okay. And then in verse 11 is Aaron's part of the peace offerings and the things that they're supposed to make sure of there. Now, let me see if I can come into where I want to show you this other part. Okay, in verse 28. This, as we spoke to a while ago about, this is the part of the peace offerings that's in addition to Leviticus chapter 3. And he's talking here about Aaron and, or pardon me, about the Israelites' part and what they're supposed to do. Verse 28. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offering unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Now, verse 29 says, speak unto the children of Israel. This is their part, not Aaron and his sons, but their part. Verse 30. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Who shall bring it? Nobody can bring it. Nobody can have peace with God but you. No, you can't do it by proxy. It's only by your special contact with God. And I'm not talking about just a salvation. See, it's like this. Let me give this example. I studied to teach this lesson tonight. And I'm sure that I probably get more out of it in all of my study than you did sitting there listening to me. And the reason I say that, it always works that way. The teacher always gets more than everybody else. And so, the only way you can get it is when you sit down with your Bible in your hand, in the peace and quiet, and you learn the things that you have to learn. Nobody can learn it for you. It's between you and God. I cannot pray in your stead. I can pray on your behalf, but I can't pray in your place. I can't go to church for you. I can be here for me. You see what it amounts to? You must learn it. I can't learn it for you. I can learn it all and stand up here and spill it all off and have it all diagrammed and all that. And you can sit there, you don't sleep away. You won't get a thing. See? It must be that your own hands, you must find peace with God yourself. You're responsible for that. I'm not. You are. So his own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. What in the world is a wave offering? It's just exactly what it says. They bring the breast, the giver brings the breast. Now the animal has already been killed. You see, the priest hands it back to him. He takes it and he says, no, this is mine. This is my piece. And he gives it away. He gives it to the priest. And the priest comes, and really what he does, he stands before the altar and he holds it out and he waves it back and forth before the altar. That's all he does. Here it is. He's offering it to the Lord. And let's see, in verse 31, the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. See, that's the part of the offering that they get. Verse 32, and the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. So they give that. In verse 33, he among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. And so there, that kind of like a wage that they've earned. But just by being there, that's a part of their living. And then he says, for the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever from among the children of Israel. And of course, that is the breast and the right shoulder belong to the priest, and every bit of the rest of it they get to take home. They can eat that, do whatever they want to do with it. Of course, anyone that is unclean and eats of that, their condemnation is upon them. But that's a little bit different subject. That uncleanness thing gets to be a little bit complicated. And so this is the offering of peace offering that we've studied about here tonight. And I hope that it hadn't been too split up. I know that this gets a little bit complicated to me to be able to see all those different parts. And so let's just briefly recap what we've talked about. The peace offering is a herd or the flock or a goat. There is no fowl. Because there's enough peace for everybody. There's enough to go around. There's enough for more than 2 days. It won't last three. On the third day, it's condemned and it shall not be eaten at all. And of course, all the fat belongs to the Lord. It's perpetual. They don't drink any blood because that's all pure. That's the healthiness of the animal. And of course, our peace there is totally from God. This is the only offering that the giver can partake of. It is also the only offering that can contain leavened bread because of our own sinfulness that's there. And so those are kind of some of the high spots of this lesson tonight. Next time, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the sin of ignorance. The sin of ignorance. Well, that's an interesting one to study about, because sometimes we sin and don't know that we have. If you're here tonight and you're lost, if you're without Jesus Christ as your own, and this is the third Wednesday night we've studied about these offerings that the Israelites were required to give for the satisfaction of the law. Of course, they gave it willingly before the Lord. We don't have any of that tonight. You know, we don't bring animals into the building and kill them, or hold them on the outside, the front, and kill them and say, well, I'm giving sacrifice. We don't do that at all. And the reason is because Christ has already paid the price for us. He's already shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. He's done everything necessary that we might have everlasting life. And only through Him can this life come. If you're lost, then there's our prayer that you might see the necessity of you as an individual person coming before God. And you must come to Him just as you are. If you're lost, then you come to God lost. You come to Him and say, Lord, I'm just a sinner. And I don't have anything good at all to bring to you. I'm just here. And in all my wickedness I come. And Jesus will save you. So it's our prayer that if you're lost, that the Lord would save you tonight. We want to stand, if you would. Paul, if you'd come and lead us in a verse or two of an invitational hymn. Let's stand as we sing this invitation hymn. If you're here tonight and saved, then pray that God would touch hearts, that someone that's lost might be saved tonight, that we might rejoice in these good things.